Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to our Camp Ignite feedback service. Come on. Come on, it's only been 2 days. And for anybody who doesn't know me, my name's John. I'm one of the pastors here at Knighton Free Church. And for anybody who doesn't realize or understand, last week, 50 kids aged 12 to 14, that's school year 79, all went for a week at the Faith Mission site in Harby. And it was fantastic, wasn't it? Wasn't it?
Yeah!
Well, I should say pop-tastic, which will make sense later. Well, there was lots and lots of fun. There was great food. As you can see, I like my food. I say that for a particular reason. That was the theme of the week. We're thinking about food. So meals with Jesus in Luke's gospel, all the occasions in Luke's gospel where Jesus either had a meal or he spoke about a meal. And Pete Williams gave lots of fantastic talks about from Luke's gospel, and he'll be speaking on one of those passages later on in the service tonight. Let's begin our time in prayer as we're going to worship God together and hear about Ignite Camp. Let's begin in prayer. Let's pray. Hallelujah. For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Heavenly Father, thank you for your generous invitation to this great banquet with you that we experience through faith in Jesus. And we thank you that your generosity is not because we are worthy, because we deserve to have a party with you, but because of your grace and your mercy, especially because of Jesus and his death and resurrection that enables rebels against you, people like me, who have rejected your ways in many ways, to be forgiven and to experience this wonderful invitation. So we pray that everything that happens tonight will be a celebration of that great banquet, that your Holy Spirit will open hearts and minds that we might receive and respond to this glorious invitation. And we ask that all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. A great big thank you to Ollie for stepping in and to lead us in music. I'm going to hand over to Ollie now, and we're going to sing.
If you'd like to stand, we're going to sing. This first song does have actions, so if you do know them, feel free to join in. So if you want to stand up, we're going to sing.
The peace in my troubled sea.
lighthouse, my lighthouse. I will just promise you will carry me safe to shore. Oh, 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 oh. Safe to shore. Oh, 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 oh. Safe to shore. Oh, 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 oh. Safe to shore. Fire before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. Fire before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. Fire before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. Fire before us, you're the brightest. You will lead us through the storms. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness, I will follow you, oh, oh, my lighthouse, I will trust the promise, you will carry me safe to shore, oh, 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 oh. Safe to shore, oh, 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 oh. Safe to shore, oh, 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 oh. Safe to
stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. The nations with truth and justice shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is a failing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Please take your seats.
So as you've heard, the theme was food, and all the tents were based around breakfast cereals, and then all of the tents themselves were put into three great groups. Snap.
Yeah! Oh.
Crackle. Oh, come on, guys. You were not like this last week, I tell you. Snap, crackle, and pop, which...
Yeah.
I am slightly biased, but Pop was the best group, I think. But as the leaders discovered that none of these children had any idea where Rice Krispies were anyway, so that completely passed them by. But I want to say a great big thanks. Camp was absolutely fantastic, and mainly to two leaders, Steve Harding, who's away on holidays away, and also Tim King. They did an amazing job at organising it all, making everything for all. So I think we need to give them a... Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. They did an absolutely fantastic job. But what we want to do is summarize all that we learned, and I want to invite anybody up the front. So anybody who was on camp, any of the campers, if you are willing to say something about maybe what your favorite thing was or something you learned, come up the front. I've got a mic, and I'm going to ask you some questions. So any campers brave enough to tell us what they learned? Come on, don't be shy. Go on. Come on. This is the best bit. So you just stand along the front. And I should, if I get anybody's names wrong, I want to apologize now. I am suffering from what John Barrett calls camp lag, which is a little bit like jet lag. When you get in your mid-50s, your body does not recover as quickly. And so I'm in a slightly different time zone, but I hope this will work. So I'm going to, we maybe not have time for all of them, but who, just put your hand up if you want to say what was the best thing about camp. Anybody want to say the best thing about camp? Go on, Beth.
Rutland Water.
That was good. Anybody else? Go on, Ben.
The bouncy slide.
You're on that a lot. Anybody else? What's the best thing about camp? Go on, Elijah.
A specific object at Rutland Water. I don't specifically know its name, but what I can say is I got launched very high off it, and that I really enjoyed. So a piece of equipment at Rutland Water.
Yeah, you'll hopefully see it in the video later. Basically, Elijah sits on a big plastic bag, basically, and someone jumps from a great height so that he is then propelled up high and then into the water. Anybody else? Any other things? Go on, Katie.
Making friends.
Oh, that's a real heart. Yeah. Ripple of applause there. Any other favourite highlights? Go on.
The evening activities.
Oh, which was your favourite out of those at all?
The bonfire.
Oh yeah, bonfire. Schmores, that was great. Okay, so we had lots of fun. That was really good. But anybody able to say one thing that they learnt from camp? Oh, that's a bit harder. Go on, Elijah. They can think while you say.
I learnt one of the memory verses that I know by heart now. I have not. This is Luke chapter 5, verse 32. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Wow! Well done.
And if I was still at camp, that would get pop points.
It would. Now you can see why we won. That was really good. I was going to ask that if anybody knew that, and you've done that already. Anybody else? Anybody brave enough to say just one thing you've learned during the week of camp? There's a lot of people thinking.
So, where did these people come
from? Oh, you weren't shy like this last week. No? Gary, you got one last chance. Anybody? Okay, well, give them a big clap. Thanks ever so much. You want to sit down? Well done. But to give us a bit of a flavour about what it's like being on camp, I thought I'd invite up and ask a couple of questions to one of our camp leaders, one of our tent leaders. So where's Reuben? Do you want to come up the front? Yeah, there we go. Big, big round of applause for Reuben. So I thought I'd get Reuben up the front because he doesn't look old enough to be a camp leader, does he? So, Reuben, tell us, well, obviously your name. So, tell us a bit about yourself and what you do, first of all.
Ooh, I am Reuben. I'm 19. I've been going on camp since year four, so last 10 years. I think missed one because of COVID. But, yeah, and I'm currently at university.
Great. So, that's why I thought, so the campers could relate to that. So, you, the camp you've just led on, in the past, you were a camper. So do you want to tell us some of your what do you remember about being a camper on Camp Ignite in the past?
Ooh, definitely concur with a lot of thoughts. Making friends, bouncy castle. But I think the biggest thing for me was just being surrounded by Christians and just having that fellowship and having everyone there be loving Christ. And I mean, we had it on middle camp just now where we were all dancing around the boombox, praising the Lord, and it's just that feeling of being free. And not having the world being like, it's a bit weird, actually. Because it's not. It's beautiful. But definitely having Christians around you. But actually, I also think, actually being detached from school and from work and having that place to just sit there and be like, actually, can I just reflect on how this year has gone? It could have happened every year. And I did it every year. I always had the opportunity to be like, actually, you know, what am I doing with my life? How am I feeling? How's my place with God? I think that's the thing that I will always take away from camp is those moments of realization. I'm sure we all had it maybe day four, day five. And we're like, actually, who is this Jesus guy? And actually, what does he mean for me?
Well, let's talk about that a bit more, because having been on camp, which was lots of fun, and they all agree with you, you then went on to do a completely mad thing, because of how little sleep you get and how hard work it is, to actually lead on camp. And do you want to explain why is this Jesus guy so amazing? What happened in your life that would make you want to go and do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, realizing that actually I'm not the biggest and most amazing person in the world. And I always spent all of my youth like trying to find this new thing. So I can see my parents laughing because they know I'm still like that. But no, like trying to strive more and more, like become the best student, become the best this, best that. And actually, when you get old enough, you realize that you're not. And I think getting that big knock in those first few failures, you really kind of hit a rut. And I think Jesus for me was really like the person that picked me up from that rock bottom and realized I don't actually have to be perfect. Actually, there's kind of beauty in the imperfections and knowing actually, no matter how insignificant I am, the most significant person in the world loves me, died for me, and did all these things for me, and I'm just a bumbling idiot. I think that's, for me, what's so beautiful about Jesus' love and that amazing grace that we spoke about. And just having that hope, and we're called to spread it to the nations, and if we have this light inside of us to spread it, I think that's why I do camps. Because seeing when these young kids, and I say this, I'm still young, but seeing them come to faith and have these moments similar to me where they're like, oh, actually, I kind of get this. It's so beautiful, and being able to help them along that journey is so unbelievably amazing that it makes up for any sleep loss and all the car journeys I've done today to go between camps.
Well, thank you very much. One last question to sort of follow on from that. What I mean, maybe you can't point your finger on a specific thing, but there was a time in your life when you didn't believe in Jesus, but now you do. What were some of the key things that led to that change?
I think I mean, I got baptized when I was 16, but definitely the year after I got baptized, I was on oldest camp. And I kind of had this moment where I was sitting down with one of the leaders, and I was actually like, why do I keep striving to be amazing? Actually, just having this weight on me and asking God, why have you given me this feeling of never being content and never feeling like I'm good enough? I really don't get it. I feel this is unfair. But then realizing, actually, you know, can I then use that for God? Actually, instead of trying to find this ambition that I have for myself to go to the best uni, go to the best job, all these things. Actually, can I use it for God? Can I use it to be the best leader, read my Bible as much as I can, and not do these works because God will love me because of them, but actually because God's love is so transformative, how can it transform my life? And I think that moment where I was just breaking down to the leaders, actually like, I don't get this, please. And them just saying, just let Jesus take the wheel. And it's so simple, but actually from that point on, I started reading the Bible that I really wasn't doing that much, even after getting baptized. And just starting that and just seeing how amazing his word is and how it can really change my perspective on myself that for so long was warped. I think those moments are the really ones that I look back and be like, wow, like that is who has made me who I am now.
That's brilliant. Thanks ever so much. Can I have the mic back? And let's give Reuben a great big clap. But the best way to explain to you what happened is to show you, of course. So what you're going to do is strap yourselves in, and then we're going to watch a video which is like a highlights reel of the whole week. So play VT. That was great, wasn't it? And big thanks to Will Kill, who is back doing the third week of camp as well now, for putting that video together. But as I said, we've been on all three camps, are going through the same pattern of looking at Luke's gospel, meals with Jesus, and we're going to have our Bible reading now. Zach, one of the campers, is going to come up and read from Luke 22, verses 13 to 20. If you've got a Bible, it really helped to follow with us. And then after Zach has read that, Pete Williams, who did all the talks during the week, he's going to come and speak on that passage. So there we go. Over to Zach.
This evening's reading comes from Luke chapter 22, verses 13 to 20. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you.
I'm just going to pray really quickly before I start. God, Father, thank you so much for just the amazing time we had at camp. Just all the fun, all the friendships, all the activities that we did, but also that we got to open your word up day by day and look through this book of Luke at the way you chose to spend your time with the people around you. And I pray that as we dig into this passage now, we would have our ears open, our hearts open to what you have to say to us today. Thank you. So, is it going to come on? There. We were looking at meals with Jesus over the course of the week. There we go. We picked out a handful of different passages in Luke where Jesus sat down and had some food with some individuals. And what we really did was we just dug into who are these people Jesus is choosing to spend his free time with, who he's choosing to sit down and eat with, and why is he picking those individuals? We looked at a few different stories, but really the core of what we looked at is this passage from Luke where he has his last meal before he dies on the cross. And he chooses to take this meal with his dearest, closest friends. And it says in the passage, not only does he kind of choose to do it because he needs to eat some food, but he actually eagerly desired, he's desperately longed to have this Passover meal with his disciples. He was so excited to do this, which might seem odd, because actually this meal was the kind of the doorway into his arrest and his death on the cross. Not something I think most of us would be super excited about. But Jesus was excited. He was eagerly anticipating sitting down. He desired to eat this meal with his disciples. And so what I want to do is I just want to look at why exactly was he so excited to do that, to sit down with his disciples. In order to do that, just like I did on camp, we need to just go back a little bit in time, because this meal was a special meal called the Passover. And it was kind of an annual Jewish tradition. And when they sat down and ate the Passover, what they were really doing was remembering something that happened in Israel's history. Thousands of years before, when Israel, the nation, were in Egypt, and they were captive. They were a nation of slaves, unable to make their own choices, unable to make their own decisions without freedom. And actually, the way Israel were back then in Egypt is the way we are right now within our own lives. Our masters, our captors, are not a nation like Egypt. But actually, the thing that holds us bound and in chains, the thing that keeps us enslaved, is sin. We have this problem, which is we don't do the right thing. We don't prioritize the right thing in our lives. And it's not out of choice. It's actually because we are bound by sin. We can't escape. Just like Israel could not escape from Egypt. They were stuck doing as they were told by the Egyptians. And they were desperate for a rescue. They were desperate to be released from that slavery. Unfortunately, that couldn't happen immediately. There was a price that needed to be paid to release them from slavery. And the price in the Passover story reflects, it is a picture of the price today that we have to pay for our sin to release us from that captivity. The price in the Old Testament was death. It's not a very pleasant story. It's not a lovely story. What happens is God sends an angel of death to the nation, and it goes to every house one by one, and in every house, the angel kills the oldest child. In every house in the whole nation of Egypt. And this is the price to be paid. This is the thing that will enable Israel to be released from slavery, to be given their freedom to escape Egypt. There's a lot going on there. It's very complicated. And it's not my focus. So I'm going to just leave it there with all of those many questions I'm sure you have. But what that does is it reflects that there is a price to be paid to release us from our sin. And that price is the same price. It is a death. A death is required to pay for our sin, to release us. But thankfully, the story isn't just of this angel coming and people dying. In the Passover, the Israelites are told there is a way to avoid that death in your households. Here's what you do. You take a pure and spotless lamb. You take a perfect sacrifice and you kill it. And you take the blood from that lamb and you paint it on your doorframe. And then when the angel passes through Egypt, it will see the painted blood on the doorframe and it will go, there was a death here. The payment in this house has been made. I don't need to take another life. And that's what happens. Every Israelite household kills a perfect lamb, paints the blood on the doorframe, and the angel passes over and no one in that household dies. And so as they're sitting together, Jesus and his disciples, eating this meal, he's saying to them, this Passover meal that we're eating right now, which represents, which reminds us of that story in the past, is actually what's happening right now at the moment. Because right now, at this moment, there is a price that needs to be paid to deal with the problem of sin in your lives and in everyone's lives in the whole world. But it's not a lamb. Because the lamb was a temporary fix to a permanent problem. What God needed was a permanent fix. What God needed was not a perfect lamb to die in our place, but a perfect man to die in our place. And that perfect man was Jesus. As he's at this table, reclining with his disciples, he's laying back, he's chatting, he's sitting with them, and he's saying to them, I am going to die. I'm going to die for you. My body is going to be given up for you. And he takes this bread and he breaks it symbolically. He says, this is like my body. It's being given. It's being shared out. It's being offered up in payment for you. And then he takes this cup and he passes it around and he says, this is my blood. And it's being poured out in payment for you. We have this great problem, our disobedience to God. And it's not just a little problem. It is slavery. We are incapable of doing what God wants us to do on our own. And the cost of that is a death. It should be our death. But Jesus at the Passover says, I'll take that. I'll pay that. I will die instead. But he doesn't stop there. He then continues with a promise. Right at the end of that passage, he talks about this cup being poured out. But then he says something kind of weird. He says, this cup that's poured out, this is the new covenant in my blood. And what a covenant means is an agreement or a promise that Jesus makes with each and every one of us. It is a promise that payment is complete, that price is paid fully, permanently. We don't have to think about it again. But even more than that, we then went on to look at the meals Jesus had when he was resurrected, when he came back to life. We looked on the final evening at a banquet, a feast in heaven, which everyone is invited to. A wonderful feast that is satisfying, that fills our longings and our hearts, that we do not deserve to be at, but Jesus invites us to. And so there's this promise of new life with him, a new covenant, a new agreement that says, do you know what? You were a slave to your sin, to your wrongdoing. You were captivated by it. You could do nothing about it. But now I've paid the price. I'm going to bring you forward into new life, into perfect, pure life with me. It doesn't always feel like that as a Christian. It doesn't always feel like we're perfect and pure because we're not. But actually, that new covenant is looking forward to heaven, to this wonderful banquet, this party where we are all invited to be there. And when we are there, we will see the full realization of the new covenant, where we will all be perfected and we will all be in his perfect presence. And it is so exciting that we get that invite, that despite our mess, he fully pays the cost for us. And what we talked about at the camp was the fact that we only have to do one thing. All we have to do is what the people in the story about the banquet did. They got given an invite. And they only had to do one thing. They just had to look at the invite and go, okay, I'll come. Yeah, I accept. I don't deserve that invite, but I fully accept it. And I'm going to turn up. It was just the most wonderful week exploring what Jesus prizes and treasures the most. And it turns out what he prizes and treasures the most is us. I'm going to pray again and invite Ollie back up. Father, thank you so much that despite the fact that we have this great problem that we are slaves to sin, you loved us so much that Jesus came to pay the price for us to set us free from it. Thank you so much that that invitation is available and ready to all. We just have to say, I'll come.
Great. Well, if you'd like to stand, we're going to sing again.
Child of God,
with the hiding, no reasons away. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. You saw my condition, I learned from the start. Your son for redemption. I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. My heart is in your sights long before my first breath. Running into your arms is running to life from death. And I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in. And I know I need you now. Run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, no reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again.
Amen. Please take your seats.
Oh, thanks, Ollie, so much for leading us in worship tonight. Thanks to the guys on the sound desk, all those who did the refreshments. We're nearly at the end, just a couple of notices, and then I'll say a benediction. But I'd encourage you to think about that invitation that Peter's spoken about. And if you want to run to the Father, if you've got any questions about that, please grab me after the service, or John Barrett, one of our pastors here, or Peter, who gave the talk, or Tim King. Any questions, grab us. We'd love to chat. A couple of notices. One is for church members, there's a prayer meeting. So we have a monthly prayer meeting, Tuesday, 7:30 p.m. in the room upstairs. Come along and let's pray together as a church. So that's 7:30 Tuesday evening. And the last thing is simply to say that everybody's welcome to stay for refreshments. Thanks for coming. So a final benediction. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that gracious, wonderful, generous, lavish invitation. And we pray that you'll give us grace to receive it. And we pray for your blessing now as we leave this place and go out into next week. May we experience your blessing in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all.